Okay. He's a friend of mine too, brother.
He's a friend of yours, Robert. Yeah.
John chapter 10. I was sharing with Tammy out there. I've always tried to make my intentions clear from the beginning. Are the effects turned off of me? Thank you. The entirety of my time here, I've always heard the Lord telling me intuitively to beware of getting up here with an agenda. And so I've tried to make that an ironclad thing in my thinking process, but here the last couple of chapters, he's given me an agenda, and I always kind of feel like I'm doing something wrong by getting up here with an agenda, but I'm warning you, I've got an agenda. I've got an agenda. I had an agenda last week. I've got an agenda this week. The agenda's the same. The agenda is, I've always been prone to exegetical study, and that's really tearing it to shreds and pulling out details, and I like that. I enjoy that. It's a lot of fun, and I like teaching it that way. But in these days that we're living in, God's hammering my soul to make sure that you know Jesus. I mean, know Him. Know. It's possible. It's possible to know Him. And so I think that that's what's been going on here for the last two or three chapters, is Jesus is reaching out to the nation of Israel and to the religious leaders in Judaism, and all. He's reaching out to them saying, look, you can't get there through a religious system. I need you to know me. I want to be friends with you. I want to be your Lord. It's the coolest thing in the world to be friends with the God of the universe. I meant to use this illustration last week, but the Holy Spirit led me away from it. As a matter of fact, I completely forgot about it after 2 days of making sure, reminding myself that I would use it. But here it is. The IRS gave us an extension on our deadline to pay our taxes this year. It was up into May and all that stuff, you know. And I paid my taxes well inside the deadline, sent them the check. I saw it on the bank statement when the check cleared and made it through the bank and all that stuff. Well, they sent me a notification that I owed them taxes plus interest and whatever and whatever and whatever. So I went to the bank and I got a copy of the paperwork and sent it to them, highlighted and everything, showing them the check cleared. You cashed the check. Well, last week when I got home, I had another notification and the interest and the penalties are still building. And I sent them a note that said, I sent you paperwork from the bank proving that I paid my taxes on time. But this really upset me. And I had to do some praying and some talking to the Lord and figure out what it is that bothers me about this. It's kind of hard to be bothered about the money since God gave me the money. And it's kind of hard to be upset about money when He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And if it's, you know, I mean, if I need to pay my taxes again, He's not failed to meet my needs yet. So it's not about the money. But what was it about? It's about that for 52 years, I lived in a very depraved and alcoholic and drug stupor, crime and all the stuff. And I did a lot of hard work to turn from that and embrace wisdom, to walk according to the Spirit and not the flesh. And they're trying to say that I am somebody that I'm not. And so I'm talking to the Lord and I said, they're trying to say that I'm that same guy that I used to be. Am I booming? Am I loud? Okay, cool. They're trying to say that I'm somebody that I'm not. You know what I heard intuitively? Yeah, I get it. They've been saying, making me into somebody that I'm not from the very beginning. So I understand your pain. I feel like I kind of dropped the ball by not pointing that out last week. That's why we went back to Exodus and looked at what God's heart was, if you'll remember. It's the same thing here. This chapter 10, we have to take it in context of chapter 9. Chapter 9, we have to take it in the context of chapter 8. And back, see the story, and John is brilliant. Well, actually, the Holy Spirit is brilliant, but it was brilliant writing, this gospel is, because the story is unfolding as God is pursuing the most unlikely people for redemption, that they could have eternal life. It's amazing to me. So let's get started. Now, remember I said we're going to look at chapter 10 in the context of chapter 9, what happened in chapter 9. He walked out of the temple and walked upon a guy that was blind from birth, and he gave him his sight back. Remember, he mixed the clay and the spit and put it on his eyes and told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. Okay, all right. Now, it just so happens that there is a gate called the Sheep Gate at the temple. It's where there is a sheepfold in there. It's a place so that the animals that are brought in to sacrifice come in that gate, and they're kept in the sheep pen, the cattle pen, whatever. It just so happens that by this cattle pen, sheep pen, that's where they brought the cripple, the maimed. Remember the guy that was at the pool of Bethesda? That's all right here in this area. Because this is a dead end. They bring the animals there to be sacrificed. They're never coming back out. They bring the invalids and the blind and the crippled and the whatever there to sit over there where there's not much traffic. With people coming in and out. They don't want the noble people to be exposed to this, right? That's where we are, okay? Chapter 10, verse 1. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Verse 5. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Okay, he's painting a picture here that they should be familiar with. At the temple, at the sheep gate, there was a doorkeeper who worked there during the day. He came in the morning, and the people that were bringing the sheep to be sacrificed, they would bring them in the morning. The doorkeeper would open the door, and they would go in that way. That's the dead end. But out in the field, there were some places in the caverns and the rocks that made a really nice sheepfold, a covering. It would take them up into a cave. Things had a pretty big opening here. And at night, the shepherd would bring his flock into the natural sheepfold, okay? Sometimes they would hire people to be a doorkeeper, and he would be, you know, whatever. Okay, I've digressed. What we're talking about here in the context of the Pharisees' interactions with the blind man. You remember they rejected him. They tried to turn his parents against him. They threatened to kick the parents out of the synagogue. You remember all this? Okay. So what we're talking about here, he said, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way. He who does not come into my flock through me. He's going to go on to say, I'm the door. But comes up some other way. The same as a thief and a robber. In those days when they would bring their sheep into the sheepfold, there would be these robbers and thieves that would come, and they would try to either climb over the back way to get in or whatever. Now, the point that he's making here is a picture pointing to what has just happened. Okay? All right, let's move on a little bit. Maybe I can pull this together. I'm struggling. It shouldn't be a strange thing. I've been struggling all day. Verse 7, then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. Now, out in the field, when he would put them in the cave or whatever, the shepherd would, he would hold his staff down low so the sheep would have to struggle to get under it, so they'd stop, you see. It's while they're stopped here, he's examining them. He's looking for cuts and bruises and nicks and bleeding spots and or anything of that sort. He's so he can care for them. He's got oil. He's got wine. He can treat their wounds. He's got food. He can feed them. So anyway, he's checking them as he goes in. Why? Why would he do that? Because he cares for the sheep. He cares. He's a good shepherd, right? Okay, so when he got them all in, the shepherd would lay down in the doorway to the cave, and nobody can get into the sheep without going over him. And the sheep can't get out without going over him, okay? So that's what he's talking about. I'm the door. He's painting a picture for him. Verse 8, all whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Lord. Okay. All those who have gone before me. He's talking about people that have come, and there's been a lot of them, that have said they were the Christ. I'm going to go to Matthew chapter 24 for a second. This would be easier. Matthew chapter 24, beginning in verse 4. And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, I'm the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear war of wars and rumors of wars. Who's he talking to here? Who's he talking to? Israel. You will hear wars, rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows, or NASB says the beginning of birth pangs, because birth pangs start off slowly and they increase in intensity and frequency, and we're seeing the birth pangs happen right now. Now, this is for Israel. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. We're seeing that happen. And then many will be offended. Come on. Come on. Many will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another. And then many false prophets will rise and deceive many. And because of lawlessness, because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end will be saved. Now he's talking to Israel, so he's talking about going through the tribulation. Don't inject ourselves into the text, but we see the birth pangs happening right now. We see the character and the nature of people changing. Everybody's offended really easily. Matter of fact, it's a big joke on Facebook about how easily people are offended. And we see that the love of many are growing cold. I'm the door. So all who ever came before me, that was the ones who said they were Christ and all that. They were thieves and robbers. But the sheep, my sheep, didn't hear them. They didn't recognize their voice. They didn't follow them, right? I'm the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. What does that sound like? Freedom. Freedom. Did we see that out of the Pharisees? They wanted to oppress the people. They wanted to bring harsh things down on their backs, make them carry the Jesus words, make them carry burdens, heavy burdens that they themselves aren't willing to carry. You see what's contrast? I'm the good shepherd. If you come to the door, if you come to the kingdom through me, you'll go in and out and find pasture. I love the sheep. I'll take care of the sheep. Verse 10, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, who's the hireling in this scenario? Pharisees. Why are they hirelings? Jesus got a whip together, put a whip together, and drove these guys out of the temple. He said, you've made my Father's house from a house of prayer into a den of robbers. You're extorting people. You're robbing them. You're standing between them and God. You're not letting them come to him. You're not letting them go in and out and find pasture and have abundant life. The hireling doesn't care about the sheep. He cares about what he can make off the sheep. He cares. They were fleecing the sheep. Where does it say that, Brian? Is it in Ezekiel? It said they're fleecing the sheep. They're not feeding the sheep. They're fleecing the sheep. They're using the sheep for what they can make off of them. Now, don't go to the extreme with that and say, well, them pastors that get paid. That's not what he's talking about. Jesus is the good shepherd. Verse 12, but a hireling who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. But the hireling flees because he's a hireling and does not care about the sheep. He doesn't care about the sheep. Let's go back to John chapter 8, verse 47 for just a second. These religious leaders, they don't care about the sheep. Why? He's been pointing out here for the last two or three chapters, they're claiming to be descendants of Abraham. They're claiming to be family of Abraham. Abraham's their father. But he said, you didn't do the works of Abraham. You haven't done the works of Abraham. Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. In verse 47 in chapter 8, he said, he who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you're not of God. You're a hireling. Only thing you're doing is trying to get in close proximity to the sheep to make some money off of them or to get your prestige off of them. Jesus talked about the Pharisees. He said, you wear your long flowing robes and take the choice seats at the banquet. You got your grand phylacteries. You come in Agrippa did back in Acts with great pomp. You want to be recognized. And when you are fasting, you let your face get all downcast. Oh, boy, he's so spiritual. He's so good. In these grand phylacteries, it's a big hat. And they would have scriptures up in their own cards, you know. I mean, they're really super spiritual. Jesus is telling them that's not going to cut it. Your Messiah has come, and I'm here to gather up those who are mine. And I'm going to save them. I'm going to give my life for them. These things that you're doing is not going to cut it. Now, if it were me, I would probably come down and crack the whip with some condemnation, some intimidation, and tell them what for. But that's not what our God's doing. He's showing them, I'm the one who cares. I'm the one who forgives. I'm the one who gives freedom. I'm the one who loves the sheep. He's telling the people that are in the witness here, these guys aren't the good shepherd. In verse 14, I'm the good shepherd. And I know my sheep, and I'm known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay my life down for the sheep. And here you go. Here's where we step into the equation. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore, verse 17, my Father loves me because I lay my life down, that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it again. This command I received from my Father. I came to give my life as a ransom. For all who would believe. For all who would believe. And you're trying to argue and oppose here? Can't you see? But they can't see it. Why? Well, they don't want him interfering with their game they got going on over here. They're making some money. They got some power. They got some prestige. We're the righteous ones. How dare you come in here and try to muscle in on our territory? He's not offended. They were offended. But he's not offended. He's saying, no, man. No. Verse 19. Therefore, there was a division among them, among the Jews, because of these sayings. And many of them said, he has a demon and is mad. Why do you listen to him? And others said, these are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? What's the difference? Well, some of them know they need a Savior. I spent 52 years of my life serving a different God. Sometimes that God was in a bottle and sometimes he was in a plastic bag. And I didn't want anybody interfering with that. But when I realized that I was at the end of my rope, and I turned to God, and I chose to believe, I remember even having the conversation. Brian told me at one time, he said, I told God, okay, I'm going to believe this, whether it's true or not. And we'll just see what happens. And I thought, well, if it worked for him, it worked for me. So I'm going to believe this, and I'm going to live my life according to it, whether it works or whether it doesn't. And we'll see what happens. If you can sober this cat up, you got some pretty big shoes to fill. But that happened. But it didn't happen until I realized that I had need of a Savior. And I'm pretty stubborn. I rode that pony for 52 years, riding down on a homeless spot on a sidewalk in Hornersville eating out of trash cans. And I said, okay, well, this might not be a good idea. I remember that profound, eloquent prayer that I prayed on the sidewalk that day. With tears streaming down my face, 148 pounds. And I said, God, help. I don't deserve it, but help. He did. It's where he is with them here. He's not offended. He's just telling them the truth. You hirelings don't care about the sheep. I've come to give my life for them. I'm going to die for them. I'm going to sacrifice my body for them. There's nobody going to, he's telling them ahead of time, there's nobody's forcing me to do this. Nobody's taking my life from me. I'm laying it down on myself. I got the power to lay it down and the power to take it up again. I'm doing that for you. Doing it for you. Doing it for you. 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 Yeah, and even you. Now, verse 22, it was the Feast of Dedication. That's Hanukkah. In Jerusalem. And it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. And then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, "How long do you keep us in doubt? If you're the Christ, tell us plainly." And Jesus answered them, "I told you." "I told you, and you don't believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but you don't believe because you're not of my sheep. If you were really Abraham's children, you'd do the works of Abraham." Abraham believed God. It was credited to him as righteousness. He walked by faith. He believed. He knew that he needed a Savior. You won't do it. You think you're righteous of your own account. You think that by keeping the law that you're righteous. You're in denial. Anybody know what that word means? Denial? Has anybody ever here besides me ever been here? Anybody ever been in denial? You ever been in denial? Three. There's four, five. Okay, that's more like it. Everybody. There should be a wind blowing on me. Denial. Well, I'm not that bad a person. Actually, I'm a pretty good... No, you're not. I came to this church and I got involved with a group of men that told me that if I had any hope of building a relationship with God and getting freedom from my addiction and alcoholism, that it would be absolutely imperative that I develop and embrace a manner of living that demanded rigorous honesty. I've learned from the scriptures that if I'm not willing to be honest with Him, if I'm not willing, let's go back to the beginning of the chapter, if I'm not willing to approach God honestly and sincerely and come through the door, if I'm not willing to do things His way, if I think I can, well, I'm up to the door, but I think I can take it from here. Come on. It won't work. Honestly and sincerely, I remember at 3:00 in the morning, and I always make this about me, but I'm the only one's testimony that I know. Walking around circles around this building at 3:00 in the morning, bawling. For the first time in my life, I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that I didn't have a cotton picking thing to bring to the table to receive salvation. I've got nothing. I've got a bunch of broken, damaged junk and a bunch of broken, damaged thoughts and attitudes and intents, and I've full of corruption and wickedness and evil. And this is all I've ever known. And this is what I'm bringing. It's all junk. And the Spirit of the Lord said to me, "You set that junk down right there. And you stay with me. And I'll give you good things to offer." Just because I'm the only one that knows, I mean, because my testimony is the only one that I know and I talk about it a lot, doesn't mean that there's something special about me. This offer is on the table for every living human being who walks the face of this earth, and I don't care how ugly or sordid your past is, the times are drawing near, walking on this earth when the darkness is beginning to prevail, and it's time for the people of God to stop playing games, talking about translations of the Bible and worship styles, And because I belong to the right clique or the right group, or because we've got this reputation or whatever, those days are over. That's not adequate anymore. It's time for the people of God to stand up and say, look, I'm nothing, but Jesus, I'm yours. Good, bad, ugly, or indifferent, this is me, and you can have all of me right now from this day forward, because I know. I see things about in the scriptures that dictate that the Lord's coming is close, but that's not what I'm basing this on. I know in my soul, in the depths of my spirit, in my heart of hearts, the deepest place that I've ever known, the place where only God and I reside, that He is just about to break back into history and gather up His sheep and take them where we can go in and out and have freedom and abundant life in a glorified body in heaven with Him. And if you think that you can pull off some con job, whoever you are that may be listening on this broadcast or in this building, if you think that you can pull off an old slick con job and get that by, you're sorely mistaken. It's time to be honest with the God of all creation. It's time to surrender. Look, you ain't no worse than me. Good, bad, indifferent, ugly, pretty, whatever there is, big deal, not so big a deal, whatever the case may be, here I am. You're not getting much, but you can drive this carcass if you want to and do whatever you want to with it and be glorified if you can do it. I'm yours. That's what these times require. Those old roots run deep of that manipulating guy, you know what I mean? I tried to manipulate the worship service, of course. The Lord said, nah, we're not going to do that. I didn't know that until I got here, and I looked for this song. I was going to pull a song out of the hymnal, because we do contemporary music here. I was going to pull a song out of the hymnal and just insert it in on you and rattle the cage a little bit. You're like, what are we doing that for? Because that's not what's important. It's not about the kind of song we sing. It's about to whom we sing. It's not about the music that we sing. It's not about the song. It's not about the singing. It's not about the talent. It's not about the ability. It's about the one we sing to and where we sing from. That's worship. I can worship the Lord Jesus Christ without a song playing on the radio. It comes from when I recognize how much He loved me and still does. The hirelings, they just can't tap into that. They haven't seen Him as He is. He's reaching. Tell them, if you would just believe, a whole world of panorama vision. How many of you want to have wisdom? Well, you got to believe first. Because wisdom comes with the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of the Spirit. There's wisdom. I didn't imagine that I would ever have access to His wisdom. I didn't know that I was going to be able to borrow from His account. I didn't know. Did you know? Did you know? I didn't know. I didn't know it came with it. I'm going to tell you, a lot of this old rhetoric that's blasting across the news screens these days, I can see right through that junk. And it's not because I'm a smart guy. It's because the Holy Spirit says, no, we're not going that route. We're not going to believe this mess. I'm not going to be afraid of a virus. I'm not going to be pressured into taking a vaccine that don't work. Why? But that's fear, man. The fear of man is a snare for your feet. Care if I die from coronavirus or whatever. This has got to die so that what's on the inside animating this can live forever. If you're not one of his sheep, you don't have that. Now, it was the Feast of Dedication. That's Hanukkah. Anybody know what Hanukkah is? It's the Festival of Lights. It describes a point where, oh, what's his name? He was a king of Damascus. Epiphanes, yeah. And he sacrificed a pig on the altar at the temple and sprinkled the blood on the scrolls, the scriptures, and just defiled the temple. And Judas Maccabee and his brothers got up this band of redneck militia, just a handful of freedom fighters is what they called them, and they went to war with the kings of Damascus and the other people that joined them against this insurmountable army and fought them for 3 years and won. But the Feast of Dedication to Hanukkah is to celebrate when at the temple, when they were fighting to set it free, and they got there and the lamps were supposed to burn 24/7 at the temple. They were never supposed to go out. And Judas got there and he saw the lamp and he's like, oh my God, there's only a day's worth of oil here. And he prayed, Lord, I'm heading out on my horse right now to get oil to fill these lamps up in this temple. But I need you to do a miracle, oh God of creation. And he did. And the lamps burned for 8 days. And that's the Festival of Lights that they celebrated, the Feast of Dedication, Hanukkah. Remarkable story about the power and the providence and the sovereignty of God Almighty. And that's what Jesus is bringing into their presence here. He's not going to bring glory to himself. He's not going to do that. He said, my works for the Father will testify of me. My Father bears witness of me. In John chapter 16, later, when the Holy Spirit has come, he's like, he's not going to glorify himself either. We don't do that. He's going to glorify me. I'm going to glorify the Father. That's the chain of command. You cooperate with the Holy Spirit and bring glory to Jesus, and he will bring glory to the Father. He already did on the cross of Calvary when he laid down his life for the sheep. He said, my Father loves me because I lay down my life, because I bring his love into the world. Now, these Pharisees are doing what the IRS was trying to do to me, make him out to be some guy that he's not. He's a madman. He's a drunk. He's this. He's that. It was the Feast of Dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter, and Jesus walked into the temple in Solomon's porch, verse 24. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, how long do you keep us in doubt if you're the Christ? Tell us plainly. Verse 25, Jesus said, I told you, and you didn't believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. They bear witness of me. But you don't believe because you're not of my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. We're one and the same. Nobody's going to snatch my sheep out of my hand. You know, the shepherds in the Middle East, in Israel, in that area around there, the sheep typically, except for the ones who were raised and groomed for sacrifice, were typically kept for their wool. So they would keep them for a long time. And year after year, I don't know how many times that you shear the sheep to get the wool, but that's what they were for. So the shepherd would shepherd the flock for a long, long time, long enough that he would really get to know the sheep. He would say, well, there's old Ron Boy over there, and there's old Brownface, and there's old Blackfoot over there, and he called them by name. He talked to them, and the sheep would recognize his voice. They would leave the doorkeeper in charge of the sheep pen, go home for the night, come back the next morning. The doorkeeper would open the door. It's what this illustration was about a while ago. He would walk in, and he would say, come on. They said he even had some kind of a little flute or something that played a certain tone, or he would play a certain tune or he would say certain words, and the sheep recognized him. He didn't have to go gather them up, rope them up and all that stuff. All he did was say something that they were familiar with, and they would follow him out. And he went before them, Jesus said. I go before them. I don't drive them. I'm not, ha, ha. I walk before them. If there's a danger, it's going to come through me. That's our shepherd. Verse 31, then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. And Jesus answered them, many good works I've shown you from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me? And the Jews answered him and said, for a good work we don't stone you, but for blasphemy. And because you, being a man, make yourself God. Verse 34, Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law? I said, you are gods. That's Psalm 82. If he called them gods to whom the word of God came and the scripture can't be broken, do you say of him whom the Father sanctified, declared holy, and sent into the world, you're blaspheming because I said I'm the Son of God? If I do not do the works of my Father, don't believe in me. But if I do, though you don't believe me, believe the works that you may know. The word is gnosko. We used it on that board up here that night. Remember, to comprehend, to come to believe, to understand, to perceive, to realize. Okay? Who's he talking to? The Pharisees, the bad guys. The bad guys, talking to the bad guys. If you don't believe me, and I know you don't believe me, but believe the works that I do, that you may comprehend, that you may understand, that you may come to learn, that you may realize and perceive and believe. The word is pistuo, acknowledge, have confidence in, and trust in that the Father is in me and I in him. I want you to have confidence. I'm not some rogue agent. I'm not here trying to make money on the sheep. I'm here to save the sheep. I'm here to deliver you. I'm here to bring you into eternal life. I'm here to buy you out of that slave market of the devil and set you free. If you don't believe I am who I say I am, then look at the works I'm doing. You know these things are from God. I spit and made mud and rubbed on a blind man's eyes who'd been blind from birth. He went and washed in the pool, and now he can see. You heard his testimony. You tried to kick his family out of the synagogue for it. You're not one of mine. I spent a lot of years. I wasn't one of his either. I was working against him. He who's not for me is against me. And he who doesn't sow scatters. I didn't have any problem believing that when it came to booze and dope, that I was either all in or all out. I didn't have any problem accepting that. But when it came to God, I had my own other little thing I was going to do over here. I didn't want to bring out, you know, I wasn't ready to give this up yet. You know what I'm saying? I'm still hanging on to some things. But when it came to this, all in. Anybody else ever went all in on something that was killing you? It's just me. Okay. All right. It's just me. Okay. Okay. We've spent our lives being taught from Scripture. And we've heard prophecy, and we've not given it too much weight because that was way out there. As a matter of fact, my behavior most of my life has been as if God were way out there somewhere. And so when I shut the door, He can't see me anymore. We've been looking there. But I have a responsibility to the kingdom of God and to my Savior to tell you that there is here. It's here. The delaying, the waiting, the playing games, the old song and dance that we've all done most of our lives, that's not going to cut it. Those things are inadequate anymore. It's time to get real with the shepherd, follow the shepherd into freedom. Because if we don't, all hell's fixing to break loose on this earth. And judgment is coming upon everyone who has not surrendered themselves to Jesus Christ. Every knee will bow and every tongue. How many does that leave out? Doesn't leave anybody out. Every knee. If you think that you're just a little too proud to bow your knee, let me tell you something. There's coming a day when you'll do it by force. You can either bow your knee and confess with your tongue that Jesus Christ is Lord and God and Christ and Savior, and you can do that voluntarily, and you can be saved and go into heaven with Him, or you can wait and push the envelope and think that I'm going to finish my little game here, and the day is coming when you stand before a holy God that He will tell you, and you will do it, that you will let your knee touch the ground and you will say, Jesus is Lord. Now, I'm not trying to scare you or guilt trip you or anything like that. I'm just saying if you haven't made that decision to voluntarily surrender yourself to the Lordship of Christ, I'm urging you to do that because the days that remain before the day when we stand before Him are drawing near. That window is closing. This is of the utmost importance. Preachers have been telling us for years and years and decades and centuries these same things, but I've never seen it in such close proximity where the reality of it is invading the soul that animates this body as I do right now. It is upon us. It's not His will that any should perish, but that all should have everlasting life. And I'm begging you, please consider confessing the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 40. And He went away again beyond the Jordan to the place where John was baptizing at first, and there he stayed. Verse 41, then many came to Him and said, John performed no sign, but all the things that John spoke about this man were true, and many believed in Him there. Everybody goes through some sort of tribulation. You heard that come out of your pastor's mouth this morning. It's what it takes to knock off all the junk from our vision so that we can see Him for who He is, see Him for how He is, see what a love, a great love that the Father has for us. Great is the mystery of godliness, that God would become a man and sacrifice Himself on a cross, on a criminal's cross for us. We've been through our tribulation. It's not necessary for you to go through the great tribulation. We're not talking about religion here. I hate religion. We're talking about family. I'm talking about being in with a bunch of people that are just as stupid as you. And we congregate up together and know that we're ridiculous, but that we're loved and we're saved and we're appreciated. You got a redneck preacher and a pair of dirty suspenders and a gray t-shirt. Come on, man. You know, in my mind, it don't get much more humble than that. I'm nothing. But this word is crying out, please give some value to this. Heavenly Father, Lord, Lord, help us. God, we want to know you. We want to turn it around if we have. We want to repent. We want to be yours. We want to be part of the family. Help us, Lord, to have the wisdom and the understanding and the knowledge to apply the principles of the Word of God, Lord, to our lives. Lord, you've turned us around, and we praise you for that, and we thank you for that, Lord. We've all gone through our own little brand of tribulation. We're going to do this final song that describes how time and time again you keep taking us through the fire. Lord, I pray if there's anybody here that doesn't know you tonight, Lord, whether it's on the broadcast, whether it's in the building, whether it gets delivered by through someone else or some other way or whatever, I pray that you would do your work, your magic, and get this word out to people. Not my word, not my teaching. I'm nothing. But the words of Jesus, the Logos, the declaration of good news, so that people don't have to go through that tribulation. Father, pour your grace out upon us, Lord, and rescue us and save us, God. Help us, Lord. We know that your time of coming back is near. And God, we just pray that your Spirit be poured out upon people that they can be saved. Lord, help us to apply the words of Jesus in our lives. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.